ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanti Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. And it is the month of December, the beautiful month where we celebrate the glory of Prashanti Nilayam, when you have people from all over the world converging in Prashanti Nilayam to celebrate the advent of the Son of God. Whenever I see Prashanti overflowing, brimming with the devotion, the purity, the sublimity of scores of devotees, it always makes one feel how so much has been done for so many years with so much passion, devotion, that Prashanti pulsates with this kind of overwhelming purity, that Prashanti pulls and captures everyone who steps into her bosom. Every time someone steps into Prashanti Nilayam, Prashanti carries that person onto her arms and fills that person with love, with purity. And I always feel there are so many people who have imbibed the spirit of this place to such an extent that they became living examples, living pillars of light and inspiration. And they are the beacons of Prashanti Nilayam. Earlier I have shared with you stories of so many devotees. Devotees like Dr. KBR Prasad, Mr. Pant, Mrs. Ratanlal, Mr. Raman Rao. All of these people, they are the ones who poured into this beautiful yatna that is Prashanti Nilayam. They poured their heart. And it is for this reason that every speck of this hamlet is filled with inspiration. Every dust particle of this piece of heaven on earth tells you a story of how you can sublimate your life. If you can talk to its trees, if you can talk to the breeze here, if you can listen to the sands, if you can sink with the birds and the squirrels and the butterflies of Prashanti Nilayam, they will tell you. They will tell you how magical it is to be here. They will tell you how so many have tasted this euphoria. They will tell you how so many have lived a beautiful life of sadhana. They will tell you how so many have poured their heart and soul and offered their everything to fill this place with pure love. They will tell you so many sagas of selflessness, of sincere dedication, of superlative sacrifice. And this conversation will never end, because this continues and perhaps will always continue. So many have done so much, and there are many more who are doing even now. Doing even now, yes, in Prashanti Nilayam, but also doing everywhere else, having come to Prashanti Nilayam, having taken the inspiration from Prashanti Nilayam. They have become beacons of the spirit of Prashanti Nilayam. And they are recreating Prashanti Nilayam wherever they are. But the source is this Sylvian Hamlet that Bhagwan gifted to all of us in 1950 on the occasion of his birthday. In this series, it has been my endeavor to share with you some of these stories, some of these beacons. In the last episode, I began with the story of Mrs. P. Surya Kantamma. She is someone who has served in the South Indian canteen for more than 4 decades, right from 1974. Even before that, actually. She's 85 now, but independent. And what a fantastic memory she has. She remembers every little thing that happened when she was right from 6, 7 years, 9 years old to the time she came to Swami, to every single moment of being with Bhagwan, because her life is only this. Her life is only this. Seva and Swami. She knows nothing else. All the mind space, all the faculties have been only to live those memories and relive those memories. And now so happily, she is sharing those memories. She comes from a freedom fighter family. Her father passed away when he was serving a prison sentence during India's freedom struggle during 1945-46. So coming from a family which was so idealistic in their goals in life, which sacrificed their lives for the nation, there was always something about Surya Kantamma. Even as when she was very small, she used to be very influenced by these highest ideals that she saw in her father, in her uncles. When she was 9 years old, I shared with you how her maternal uncle took her and her mother to their house because father was no more. And it is there that the uncle and aunt told her about devotion to Panduranga. She was married off when she was just 17. She already had a baby when she was 17. And unfortunately, her husband, who was also a freedom fighter, a young man who had gone to a conference where Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru also presided, in that unfortunate incident, her husband also left her. Husband died. And Surya Kantamma garu, with her baby boy, was all alone with mother. And living with the maternal uncle and aunt, she got more and more immersed into devotion to Panduranga, and she started going to Chilakalapudi in Machilipatnam district of Andhra Pradesh, where there was a shrine of Lord Panduranga. In the previous episode, I told you all about how the shrine came into being, the enigmatic story of how this shrine is a Swayambhu shrine where Lord manifested himself in the most magical way. And that is where Surya Kantamma garu spent a lot of her young years, bringing up her little son and spending all her time in worship of Lord Panduranga. In fact, she got Panduranga Diksha. She was initiated into the worship of Lord Panduranga. For 12 years, she followed that Diksha, wherein every month she had to fast on Ekadashi day. She has to do the mandatory Nama Japam. She has to do Likhita Japam. And that is how she was spending her time. And at the same time, the family members, the uncle and aunt and everyone else felt that she was getting too much into devotion and they should engage her with something else. And given that she was a very smart girl, they asked her to become the sarpanch, the leader of the village. And that is when it struck to Suryakantamma that my father was so devoted to serving the people, serving the country. Maybe if I do this job well, my father in heaven will be very happy. And it is because of that thought that she dedicated herself to serving the people. India had just attained independence, so there was so much to do for all the villages. And given that the then Chief Minister of Andhra Pradesh, Mr. Neelam Sanjeev Reddy, knew Suryakantamma garu's father who was in prison, so he had great respect for her, and he always told her, "You're like my daughter. Whatever you need for the people, you come." So that is how, with the support that she got from the Chief Minister, she started doing a lot for that community, for the village, for that district, and she was promoted to be in the Jilla Parishad. So that is how she was spending her time, devotion to Panduranga and serving the people of the nation. These were those formative years of Suryakantamma garu when she was 17, 18, 19. And she used to travel a lot to do these service initiatives to get the funds from the government to undertake this road construction work, this building construction work, get power, get electricity, build shelters. And for this, she would travel to Hyderabad, the capital, and she would meet the Chief Minister and get her things done. On one occasion, when she was in Hyderabad, she stayed with one Miss Rama Devi. Now, Rama Devi's mother was a freedom fighter, and she knew very well Suryakantamma garu's father. They were all contemporary freedom fighters. And Rama Devi's mother was very close to Mrs. Dronam Raju Lakshmibai, who was a member of the Legislative Assembly there. And so whenever Rama Devi used to go to Hyderabad, she used to stay in the house allotted to Dronam Raju Lakshmibai. And when Suryakantamma garu went to Hyderabad, so Rama Devi's mother said, "Why don't you stay with my daughter? Why do you want to stay in a hotel?" And that is how Kantamma garu started staying with Rama Devi whenever she was in Hyderabad. Both of them had come from a patriotic family. And it was when she was staying with Rama Devi in Hyderabad and she was trying to get her official things done, that during one informal conversation with Rama Devi, she said, "Why don't we go out?" She had finished her work and there was some free time and there was a movie theater there, and they said it would be nice to go and watch the movie of Saint Jayadeva. It was a night show. And since Kantamma garu was free and Rama Devi was a nice friend, she said, "Okay, let's go to the movie." And when they saw that movie, Kantamma garu was very touched. Looking at the devotion of Jayadeva, the way he composed the Ashtapadis, the way the Lord manifested himself, moved by his love, the way he conquered God through devotion, and the way he became such a beautiful instrument to propagate the name and glory of God, and the miracles that he did, the transformations that he executed everything touched Kantamma garu so much, and after they finished watching the movie, she was discussing with Ramadevi, and they were saying, she started saying, what a fantastic life Jayadeva led, and it was full of mahima of the Lord, it was full of glory of the Lord. I wish we were his contemporaries. We are in a time where we do not have that kind of devotees, that kind of beautiful relationship to be with the Divine. And when she mentioned all this to Ramadevi, Ramadevi told her, why? Even now it is there. In Puttaparthi, there is one Satya Sai Baba who is a divine incarnation. I think you should visit Puttaparthi and have his darshan. And this was the first time when Suryakantamma garu was listening about Bhagwan. And Ramadevi started narrating her experiences with Bhagwan. In fact, Ramadevi's brother was Krishna, who had the opportunity in those days to serve Swami. Krishna used to even drive Swami's car at times. And Ramadevi had come to Puttaparthi on many occasions. In fact, she was blessed when Bhagwan took devotees to Chitravati, and on one day Swami disappeared from the midst and Swami appeared on the top of the hill, and Swami said, look at me now. And there they saw that the whole scene behind Swami disappeared, and they saw this whole place becoming red, and they saw this mystical eye, and from that eye was pouring forth this fire with so much velocity and vigor. Everyone down, they just swooned. They were unable to bear the intensity of that experience. They fell unconscious. It was the darshan of Trinetram, the third eye of Shiva. And Ramadevi started narrating how she was there and she had experienced this, and how Bhagwan later had to come down and revive each one of them. And Swami said, it is very tough for you to bear that luminous light, but all of you had prayed for this darshan, that's why I granted it to you, but your bodies are unable to take it. So Ramadevi narrated all these experiences that she had with Bhagwan when she used to come to Puttaparthi, and Bhagwan had even visited their house when Bhagwan had gone to Rajamundry. So Ramadevi started narrating one after another all these out of the world experiences that she has had with Swami. And Ramadevi said, I did not want to leave Parthi, I wanted to stay there. But Swami would not allow me, and Swami would say, no, you are a young girl, you go get married and come. And she would say, no Swami, if I get married, then I have to listen to my husband, he might have his own priorities. I don't know whether I will get the chance to stay in Parthi. Swami said, no, you are a young girl. You get married. I will ensure that you get a good husband. I will ensure that you are happy. Don't stay here without marriage, Swami told her. And that's what Swami blessed her with. And of course, she had a very beautiful marriage, and she started coming after that with her husband to Prashantinilayam. So she narrated all this to Kantamma garu, and because both of them were like friends, everything she said had a lot of impact on Kantamma garu. And she in fact said, let me check if Swami is in Hyderabad, because Swami used to travel so much in those days. And when she checked up, they said that no, Swami had indeed come after his North India trip, but Swami has already left for Puttaparthi. And she said, I will take you. I will take you. Right now if you want. And Kantamma garu said, no, no, but I have come. I have to got all these funds from the government and I have to execute all these works. I will definitely go. But immediately I cannot because I have these commitments to make. I have to complete, to fulfill. So, that's when she started listening about Swami and this interest in Swami started sprouting in her being, but the time to see Swami had not yet arrived. In 1958, Devulapalli Satyavati, who was also a freedom fighter, offered to take Suryakantamma garu to Puttaparthi. Now this freedom fighter lady, Satyavati, she was very, very devoted to Gandhiji. So inspired she was by Gandhiji's ideals that she set up a school for only girls. She wanted to empower the girl child of India. And she became a widow at a very early age. And she dedicated all her life to teaching music, teaching dance, teaching Vedam, infusing confidence into the little girls of India. And her life was as Gandhian as it can be. Very, very inspired by the ideals of simple living of Gandhiji and working tirelessly for the upliftment of the poor and needy. And Kantamma garu was very influenced and had great respect for Satyavati garu. And it was Satyavati who took Kantamma garu to Rajahmundry. Bhagwan was in Rajahmundry. And that was the first time that Kantamma garu had the darshan of Bhagwan. It was a darshan from very far. It was sometime in the August of 1958. In fact, Bhagwan visited Hyderabad on 26th August 1958 and he graced the Gruha Pravesham ceremony of Kaushalya Bhavan on the 28th of August. He further blessed the devotees gathered there. He delivered a discourse there. He laid the foundation stone of the Satya Premasai Vihar on the 30th of August. And then Bhagwan left for Rajahmundry on the 31st of August. And after crossing the Godavari, which was in full spate, Swami reached Rajahmundry on the 1st of September. And Bhagwan was welcomed at the town hall by the eager devotees of Rajahmundry. Swami then visited the Gautami Jivakarunya Sangha and Swami blessed the inmates and the workers there. Bhagwan also paid a visit to the Sai Baba Pracharak Mandali. So there were so many organizations. The Satyasai organization had just started, so there were so many such organizations doing good work and Bhagwan used to visit every institution. Swami has visited Divine Life Society, Lions Club, everything. Wherever there was good work, Swami would go and Swami would inspire them. And there was a large gathering of the farmers at Mirtipadu on the 2nd of September. On the 3rd of September, Swami visited Kattamuru, Samalkot, Peddavaram, so many villages, all these villages in and around Rajahmundry. In fact, the devotees of Peddavaram were blessed to have Bhagwan's discourse and it was as if Swami had ordered the rain gods to hold themselves in check because not a single drop of rain fell in any of the places Bhagwan chose to visit. Swami then went to Kovur and then at Jabrol, that was on the 8th of September, and then Bhagwan reached Nuzvid in the evening of 8th of September 1958. So it was during this period, in the August of 1958, when Bhagwan was in Rajahmundry, that Suryakantamma garu had the opportunity to see Bhagwan for the very first time. She had heard so much about Swami, but this was occasion where she saw Swami from very far. Just his orange robe, she could not really get a close darshan. Nevertheless, she had beautiful memories of this very first occasion when her eyes fell on Bhagwan. And then there was another occasion when devotees from Hyderabad told her, "We are going to Puttaparthi, do you want to come?" And again, Suryakanta Magaru had so many responsibilities because of the social work initiatives that she had taken up. She did not have time, and the journey to Puttaparthi from Hyderabad would take 20 hours. In those days, the transport services were not great, and she could not make that trip. And then Suryakanta Magaru used to very regularly visit Chilakalapudi. Chilakalapudi, as I told you, is the shrine of Lord Panduranga, and that is where her heart was. She had just introduced to Swami, but she had taken up these worship of Lord Panduranga. She had taken Diksha, she had taken that vow, and she would go very often to Chilakalapudi, and she would serve in the shrine there. She would do sadhana there. And on one occasion, when she visited Chilakalapudi during this time, she met one person by name Krishna Rao, who suggested to her that you should see Swami. And even as Krishna Rao was telling her this, someone called Krishna Rao, and Mr. Krishna Rao came back with a book, and that book was Satyam Shivam Sundaram. And Krishna Rao said, "I had not planned this. It appears like Swami has sent this book for you. A few people from our village had been to Puttaparthi and they have given this book. You please take it. This book is meant for you." And along with the book, there was a photo of Bhagwan, a paper photo of Bhagwan. In fact, this Mr. Krishna Rao had told on one occasion prior to this also to Suryakanta Magaru whenever she went to Chilakalapudi to come to Prashantinilayam. But at that time, Kanta Magaru had not heard anything about Bhagwan. But this time, when Krishna Rao Garu told Suryakanta Magaru, she had already seen Swami once. She had heard all that from Ramadevi. And now she was getting in her hand the biography of Bhagwan, Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. And Krishna Rao Garu immediately visited the post office and paid for Sanatana Sarthi's subscription for Kanta Magaru. He said, "You should read Sanatana Sarthi." So when Kanta Magaru went back to her village, she read Satyam Shivam Sundaram. And as she read every page, she was so moved. She just felt that Swami is the avatar. In fact, it had so much impact on her that she made a photo frame of the picture of Swami that came with the book, and she put it in one corner of her puja room. In the middle, of course, was Lord Panduranga. But now, Bhagwan became a part of her life. She used to always offer worship to Bhagwan even as she worshipped Lord Panduranga. If she offered one flower to Panduranga, she would offer one flower to Swami also. And one day, while she was doing this worship, when she was lost in meditation, in her meditation, suddenly she saw the figure of Bhagwan. Bhagwan in orange robe, smiling. She's closing her eyes and she's seeing Swami, and she had only a very far darshan of Bhagwan. She had seen Swami only in the picture. Now she's closing her eyes and Bhagwan was in her mind. And when that happened, that startled her. And her faith in Bhagwan began to strengthen. She felt that Swami is definitely a Mahima avatar. Swami is one of not this world. He is a divine incarnation. So that became more and more pronounced within her. And next week, in Sanatana Sarathi, it was written that Bhagwan was coming to Eluru to inaugurate the Gita Bhavanam. This Gita Bhavanam was constructed by Polishetty Govindarao. And at that time, Kantamagaru's term in the Panchayat was done, and she was a member of the Jilla Parishad, the local government. And there were some meetings that she had to attend in Eluru. And so the son-in-law of Polishetty Govindarao suggested that Swami might come to their house. And Polishetty Govindarao's son-in-law said, Kantamagaru, if you want, you can come to our house. You can have Bhagwan's darshan. This was in the August of 1960, 7th August 1960. In fact, on that occasion, Bhagwan materialized a pair of magnificent silver padukas for installation at the Gita Bhavanam. It was a building meant for sacred activities. Bhagwan handed over this precious padukas to the founder of Gita Bhavan with his blessings. So this happened in 1960. So slowly, Bhagwan was drawing her little by little into his proximity. So this was the second time that Kantamagaru had darshan of Bhagwan. She was there along with the members and chairman of Jilla Parishad. And when Bhagwan inaugurated that building, Bhagwan gave darshan from atop that building. And there were huge crowds in all directions. So even though she was there for this darshan, because of the crowd and because of the number of people there, she could not get a very close darshan of Bhagwan. Nevertheless, she had a very fulfilling darshan. In fact, she was 100 meters away. And there was a moment when Bhagwan, when he was looking at the crowd, Swami looked at her, and Kantamagaru felt that Swami's vision just pierced her. She just felt that Swami was just looking at her. And that one moment when her eyes and Bhagwan's eyes met, something happened within. She felt something just broke inside. She felt so deeply touched that she felt, this is it. Somehow, that was that moment when the desire of coming to Swami, of knowing Swami, of being with Swami became so intense that she could not after that control herself. That one look of Bhagwan completely turned her heart into sponge. And from then on, that desire to have darshan of Bhagwan intensified. This darshan in 1960 was the first major turning point in her life. And after that, given that she was always helping people, whoever was willing to do something for the poor of the country, there was her friend Mute Vedakumari, who was standing for election, and her father was a Jamindar. Vedakumari's father was a Jamindar, but he was again someone so influenced by Gandhiji, because that was a period, you know, everyone was so mesmerized and so inspired by the father of the nation who led such a simple life. And even though he was a Jamindar, Vedakumari's father used to lead a very, very simple life and used to do so much for the poor. In fact, he would bring all the untouchables to his house and he raised a colony of untouchables whom Gandhiji called Harijans. They are the people of God. So Kantamma Garu started helping this Vedakumari. She was standing for election. And so 3 months she spent helping her to fight the elections. And by the time that ended, she came to know that Bhagwan was visiting Chebrolu. But by the time she figured out where Bhagwan is, Swami had already left. And now, it was January of 1961. In January of 1961, Bhagwan was again in the East and West Godavari districts of Andhra Pradesh. Between January 15th and 31st January, Swami presided over the Tyagaraja Utsav at Rajahmundry during that trip. Generally, you have this ceremony wherein all the Tyagaraja Kritis are sung, and it happens many times in this December-January period. Bhagwan paid short visits to Kakinada, Mirtipadu, blessed hundreds of devotees. Swami reached Akiripalli on 24th January after visiting Razol, Chebrol, Eluru, Nuzbed, Chiriwada on his way from Rajahmundry. All these villages Bhagwan has visited. In fact, the number of villages that Swami has visited in South India are numerous. On the 25th of January, Swami presided over the anniversary celebrations of the Markandeya Sanskrit College and gave a discourse to the thousands assembled there, and then he left for Hyderabad on 26th and came back to Prashantalam on the 1st of February. So this trip of Bhagwan that happened in the January of 1961 was a trip to places where Kantamma Garu could have gone to see Swami, but she missed. And now her desire was to come to Prashantalam because she missed seeing Swami when Swami had come to these places. And she told Vedakumari that let's go to Puttaparthi. And her friend, she said, I want to go to Tirupati because I have already seen Swami. I have been thinking of going to Tirupati for very long. Then Kantamma Garu said, okay, you go to Tirupati, but I will go to Puttaparthi. At that time, that intensity to come to Prashanti had reached a point where she could not control herself any longer. She said, doesn't matter, I will go to Puttaparthi. Even though she was very young and she had no idea where Puttaparthi is, no idea of the route, how to go, but just that intensity was so compelling that she said, I have to go to Prashantinilayam. And that is how, in 1961, in the month of March, on the occasion of Shivratri, she started off to Puttaparthi. She took a train. And in the train, she was speaking to the fellow passengers. And there, someone revealed that they are also going to Puttaparthi. And then Kantamma Garu told them that this was her first time and she did not know anything of the route. And the fellow passengers in that meter gauge train said that we are from Chebrolu, we are from that village and we have been Bhagwan's devotees for the past 10 years. Because, you know, Bhagwan had visited these villages in the 50s. So that's how he has so many devotees in 1950s itself. And this devotee, his name was Velishetty Satyanarayana, such a kind person. He told Kantamagaru, who was very young at that time, that don't worry, we have a guest house at Puttaparthi. We will take care of you. We will host you at our guest house. And that gave so much confidence to Kantamagaru. Not only this, as they were conversing in the train, they figured that there was another young couple in the train, and all these Chebrolu devotees were speaking to that couple. And Kantamagaru realized that that couple was the son-in-law and daughter of the elder brother of Bhagwan, Sheshamaraju Garu. So the son-in-law of Bhagwan's brother was also traveling there, and they were coming to Puttaparthi. They boarded at Vijayawada. So now that there were two families going to Puttaparthi and one of them is related to Bhagwan, now she was completely at ease, and she reached Penukonda in the night. There was only one bus to Puttaparthi in those days. And if that bus went, you had to wait for the bus to come back. So they waited in the night after 11 hours in the train. And the bus returned the route to Puttaparthi was not drivable. It was only walkable in those days. And that's the reason why it took very long. You had to cross through the rivers. You had to cross through the waters and the sand. By the time they reached Puttaparthi, it was 10 in the night. And this Velishetty Satyanarayana, the family from Chebrolu who came, whom Kantamagaru met in the train, they were so kind to guide her about how she should be in the ashram. In fact, this Velishetty Satyanarayana's wife told Kantamagaru, take your slippers off and keep it in the bag. In those days, people were not allowed to enter the ashram with their footwear on. Ashram used to be absolutely silent. People used to converse only in whispers, in low whispers. Any time you stepped into the ashram, it was pin drop silence. Bhagwan used to say, in this sound is Shabda Brahman. Bhagwan used to ask the devotees during that time, either you spend your time reading sacred literature. Sanatana Sarathi started in 1958. Either you read the Sanatana Sarathi, read the Vahinis, or sleep, or do Namasmarana, but don't talk. And Swami was spending a lot of time with the devotees because there was nothing else. For the devotees, from morning till night, they were always in and around Bhagwan. Swami used to walk everywhere in the ashram. Ashram was very small. But discipline was paramount. There was open space all around. The ashram had no compound wall. There was just one fencing. And from the ashram, you could see River Chitravati. People used to go to Chitravati early in the morning, 3 a.m., for their shower to wash their clothes. There was no water. There was one well in front of the Ganesh temple, where the Ganesh temple is, in front of that, there used to be one well, and there was very little water in that well. And that water, people had to draw for drinking. That water was also water which would gradually show up in that well, and you had to wait to fill up one bucket of water, and that was good water which people used for drinking. There was only one little metal board outside the Ganesh gate. This board was kept supported by two wooden stacks, and that was written there, Prashanthi Nilayam, that same Ashwatha tree which is there. That tree was there at that time, very small tree. In fact, the whole area was filled with only stones. As they say, it was a Rayal Seema. It was only Rayal Seema, as they would say. Rayal means stone. The whole area was only filled with stones and it was dry. In fact, Bhagwan, in 1957, on the 29th of June, laid the stone for what is called Tapovanam. In fact, the collector of Anantapur at that time, K. Kondal Rao, IS officer, he came and he laid the foundation for building a Tapovanam. Tapovanam means a jungle for penance. So Bhagwan had these trees being planted there. The devotees would spend their time pouring water and taking care of these plants. Swami used to say, if you have time, go and serve these plants. There was a forest officer of Bhagwan who was devotee and who got many saplings. And so the devotees used to spend all their time. Initially there was not even Omkaram Nagar Sankirtan. We are talking about 1956-57. During that period, in fact, the tradition of Omkaram and Nagar Sankirtan started after Bhagwan returned from his North India trip sometime in 57-58 perhaps. So the devotees used to spend all their time only in darshan of Bhagwan, because Swami was available all the time. And Swami used to tell them, don't misuse the time, put water in the trees. Bhagwan started this Tapovanam in 1957. In fact, this morning, I wanted to see that foundation stone, and it is actually there behind South Prashanti, behind South 2, even now in the midst of all those beautiful trees there. There is the stone which says Prashanta Tapovanam, inaugurated by K. Kondal Rao, IAS. Swami had created this whole area. Tapovanam is the area of penance. Swami had created this place for people's sadhana. And Pedda Bottu Amma, about whom we have earlier talked about, the devotee who was close to Shirdi Baba and who was fortunate to come to Bhagwan in those early years, who had met Shirdi Baba, and when she came to Swami, she realized that Swami is Shirdi Baba come again. She was the leader and she was the one who would guide all these devotees, and they used to do these plantation activities. They used to engage themselves in service and sadhana, because in and around the Prashantle Mandir, the Mandir was just a very, very rudimentary building, and there were just on the east there were 4 or 5 houses, in the south there were 4 or 5 houses, and around that there were only cultivation. There was coconut cultivation, there was sugar cane, there were all these plants. And the devotees used to serve in these cultivations, in these trees that Bhagwan had planted. Animalapalli was the nearest village, and after that you had Brahmanapalli. And all these villages are separated by vast tracts of agricultural land. Where the Gokulam is now, there were only goats and sheep. That is how Puttaparthi was at that point in time. In fact, it was during this time that Bhagwan inaugurated these 4 or 5 sheds, very, very rudimentary sheds, and Burgul Ramakrishna Rao, who was the governor of Kerala and later governor of Uttar Pradesh, he came and inaugurated that during that period. prior to 1960s. And these accommodations were made of Kadapa slabs, Kadapa stone. In fact, there was hardly any place. So there were two Kadapa stones was meant for one person to keep his luggage and sleep. In fact, in one of the sheds that was earlier built behind the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir, much in front of where currently South One is, in fact, that place became the venue for people's accommodation to keep their luggage as well as a program venue. So Swami had to give a discourse or something. Swami would go there and people would just keep all their luggages outside. And Swami would spend time there, and in the night they would bring their luggage inside and they would sleep. And everybody had just like two stones for themselves. And people used to get their own kerosene, because to cook they had to get their own kerosene stove. And people used to get all their groceries. In fact, if they wanted something urgently, then Bhagwan's father, Pedda Venkapa Raju, used to go to Bukkapatnam. And he used to get whatever any devotee needed, because there were no shops, there were nothing in Puttaparthi at that point in time. But what Bhagwan was very, very particular, that there should be no sound. In fact, people were so careful that even when they were washing their vessels, they would ensure that it made no noise. In fact, if there was little extra noise, Swami would, from his room on the upstairs, Swami would say, "Why are you making noise? Do you want me to go back to Vrindavan?" Swami just wanted only silence. Only silence. In fact, it was Pedda Bhattu Amma who planted one of the almond trees which is there now, just close to the Sarvadharma Stupa, and they used to wash their hands in the stem of this tree so that they don't make noise. Because if water splashed on the ground, it made noise. If the plate was kept on the ground, it made noise. And they had to lead a noise-free, silent life. That is how Bhagwan wanted them to all the time feel the presence and be quiet. Quiet outside, inside, within. And it was these devotees at that point in time who used to do groundnut cultivation just around Prashanthi Nilayam, where perhaps the cyclone thal is now. There was a small gate where the Gopuram gate is now. Of course, the gate was much, much ahead, not where it is now. And there was one gate at the Ganesh gate. And Bhagwan, from the balcony of Prashanthi Nilayam, you could see Chitravati. So Swami, from the balcony of Prashanthi Nilayam, could see the devotees, people crossing the river and coming. And Swami should keep standing there, and Swami keep watching who is coming, who is coming. And of course, later on, one more shed was made so that whenever any functions are held, people need not keep their luggages outside. So there was now one shed for functions and one shed for accommodation. And Bhagwan was all the time there with the devotees. Sometimes Bhagwan's car would be parked in that portico, and Swami would just walk from east to west to north to south, just in and around the Mandir veranda. Little later, on the lady's side, on the west side where the cyclone thal ladies sit, there was a little stage constructed which was called Shanti Vedika. And that is where functions began to be held. Shivratri function, Lingodbhavam function that you see in the early videos that are held in that Shanti Vedika. And Kantamagaru recalls how there was a rudimentary canteen at that point in time. And there was one Mr. Suraya who used to look after that canteen. Suraya came from the kingdom of Venkatagiri. He was serving the king, and after Bhagwan started going to Venkatagiri, he was a bachelor, and he was so much taken in by Bhagwan's divinity that he wanted to serve Swami, and Bhagwan gave him that opportunity to stay in Prashanthilam, and he was the one who used to look after the canteen. Canteen was, of course, very small. In fact, where the current kitchen is, at that time, that itself was a canteen. In fact, today's kitchen was the canteen, the whole canteen of that time. And Swami used to tell the devotees, if you have time, you go and serve, you know, cut onions, cut vegetables. So Kantamma Garu, even at that time, used to go and she used to serve in the canteen. And when Bhagwan was at that point in time, himself planning the new constructions. In fact, he used to hold the tape and he used to measure the areas. And so when Bhagwan was constructing another shed for people, in fact, Bhagwan's father, Venkamma Garu, he started saying, Swami, why are you constructing? Already the sheds are not that much full. Who is going to come? Why don't you listen? I mean, that is how parents were. Parents always were very scared that too many people are coming and you know, they lose their son. So that concern was always there. So father used to grumble saying, Swami, he does not listen to us. He goes on constructing new things. But the devotees used to... At that point in time, they were just in bliss because Swami was there all the time with them. And the people who were serving in the canteen, Kantamma Garu recalls that even when Rajas and Ranis came, the Jamnagar Rani, her mother, Mrs. Nanda, even though she was a queen, she used to come and she used to work in the kitchen. Of course, that time she was very young. She used to clean. She used to say, no, I want to do everything. She used to cut vegetables. She used to clean. There was Bobbili Maharaja. Even Bobbili Maharaja and their family members, they used to come and they used to serve in the canteen. And they were in bliss because that was the Leela phase of Bhagwan. That was the phase when every moment with Swami, something fantastic was happening. Because, you know, the first 16 years Leela, next 16 years Mahima, it was during this phase that all these devotees had the chance to be with Swami. So every day, every moment was something beautiful unfolding. So it is into this ambience that Kantamma Garu came for the first time to Prashantinilayam in 1961. It was the time for Shivratri celebration. So what happened during that time and how remarkable it was for her, what Swami told her and how that sealed her faith in Bhagwan forever. We'll come to that in the coming episode of Beacons of Prashantinilayam, in Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Dear listeners, thank you so much for being with me. It's really been a joy for me to go through the lives of devotees like Kantamma and offer this to you. I hope we take inspiration from such lives and we make our lives take the path where every moment is sanctified. Every moment we live and die and relive for Bhagwan. Thank you so much. As always, if you have any queries, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send your comments to our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Offering this little endeavor at His lotus feet, I take your leave. Thank you so much. Sairam.